Welcome to this episode of Industries in Transition. A holistic look at the challenges, triumphs, and lessons learned as businesses drive change to build a sustainable future. Hello and welcome to this special series. I'm your host, Lisa Odner-Gaus, and in today's episode, we're taking a closer look at the exciting and challenging world of energy transition. We have experts here to help us understand. A warm welcome to Charlotte Wolf-Bye, Chief Sustainability Officer at Petronas. Thank you for having me here today. Marco Accelli, CEO at Aqua Power.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And Wanton Chow, Global Head of Global Industries Group at Standard Chartered.
Hi, Lisa.
Anyone who is up to speed with the headlines knows that the need to access energy that is secure, sustainable, and affordable continues to be a tall order. Energy companies are facing two big challenges. They must decarbonize their own operations. On the other hand, they also have to address the growing energy demand, particularly for clean energy. And different parts of the world are at different stages in their transition journeys. Also, the cost of moving the entire energy sector towards net zero is huge. How do we ensure that such a transition is just? In other words, how do we make sure no one gets left behind? Time to get down to business and find out. Charlotte, Petronas is a Malaysian headquartered oil and gas company very focused on energy transition. You joined in 2021, and one of your key mandates is to translate the net zero goals into concrete actions. And you also have to make sure that this transition is just. So how do you do it?
It is complex. It's probably the biggest transformation of our generation and the next one. I sit here in Southeast Asia. This is the fastest growing region of the world. It will be the fourth biggest economy in the next few decades, the third largest workforce in the world. And really, millions and millions of people will be moved from poverty or from the lower social classes into the middle classes. And at the same time, energy demand is expected to grow about 3% every year. Now, the key question is, how can we decouple economic growth from emissions growth? Access to reliable and affordable energy is critical, because if it's not available, not affordable, you will quench that economic growth that's so much needed. Because it's not just about economic growth, it's also social progress. But at the same time, this region is very much dependent on fossil fuels today. So really key for a just energy transition, it can't be an overnight switch from brown to green. It really needs to be a transition, and that you bring everybody on board and the whole society approach, and the whole society moves in one direction. In Petronas, we're focusing heavily on reducing emissions. We are also investing in new clean energy solutions. And something that we just started in 2023 was we organized a set of roundtables involving various groups across society to discuss what a just transition could be. We discussed human rights, skills of the future, communities, value chains, supply chains. And it was really fantastic. It was actually so good that we published a report on this topic. We want to be a positive force and galvanizing force to ensure that there's a common vision for what a just energy transition would be.
Wanton, Standard Chartered is a large bank. You're very active in ASEAN. ASEAN was mentioned as one of the fastest growing region in the world at the moment. But there's huge amounts of capital needed to fund this project. So I wonder, what role can banks play in channeling these billions of dollars that are needed to the right places?
I think you're absolutely right. Lots of capital, and in fact, perhaps trillions of dollars are actually needed. And banks play an absolutely critical role. Banks could help steer the capital to finance all the sustainable projects in order to manage climate change. From Standard Chartered perspective, we have a mix of presence in the developed market. The majority of our franchise are actually located in more the developing economy. As a result, we do have a slightly more complex task because we do need to create a set of policies and framework that could actually ensure that we can provide financial services to a very diverse set of clients across a very diverse market. The good thing is Standard Chartered has been operating in many of these markets, in some instances over 100 years. So that does give us a very deep understanding of the market, and that helps us to develop the right strategy to provide financing and capital to these markets based on the risk profile of the projects and of the clients in those markets. Now, Standard Chartered has also set a pretty ambitious aspiration to support up to about 300 billion in sustainable finance that align to our green and sustainable product framework, as well as the transition finance framework. Our team has also developed a full suite of products and services that include short-term trade finance facility all the way to long-term structured finance facility that include green loans, sustainability-linked loans, as well as carbon trading. But one key point that I do want to highlight is our emphasis has always been on creating access to capital and making sure that it's delivered to support ongoing economic developments in many of these markets. At the same time, for some of the projects, we also take a lead role by making sure that you're able to leverage on the structuring skills internally, our ability to assess projects and bring in other capital providers. Because as we started off by saying, we probably need trillions of capital to support all the sustainable projects. It is important to ensure that we are able to help open up new source of capital for our clients.
Marco, pivoting to the Middle East now, where you are based, you're headquartered in Saudi Arabia. ACWA Power is an important player in renewable energy and in desalination plants. You've recently, I learned, been recognized by the Global Water Intelligence as the world's largest private water project developer outside of China. So if you had to break it down for us, what is your role in this broader energy transition?
This is really something fascinating. And we are a unique company in this because everybody's talking about renewables. Everybody agrees that they are the default solution because they're the cheapest, the fastest, the most reliable and secure that you can install. Where we need to work on now is how you integrate them in the system. Those are storage system. How do you make it available 24 hours a day? We need to think about water and water needs. We need to think about the hard to abate sectors like transportation, aviation, shipping, refinery, fertilizers, and so on. And we are at the center also of all these. In battery storage, to give you an idea, we are one of the first in the world with more than 5 gigawatt hours that we have done in the past 3 years alone. That is the same as all of Europe combined in 2022. We do concentrated solar power. So for us, the solution is not just a simple technology, but is the solution for the country. In water, we achieved the lowest tariff in the world, just like we have done in photovoltaic. And we have provided a very innovative solution in a totally off-grid project called the Red Sea Global Project on the Red Sea. It's going to be one of the most attractive tourist destinations in the world. There we power all the resorts, all the facilities with solar power, with a backup from biofuel and battery storage. That means that all water that we supply through desalination is 100% renewables. And in other cases, more higher scale for bigger cities, we reached in Saudi Arabia and the Emirates already about 30 to 35% of the power supply for the desalination from solar panels that are installed at the site. So this is what we're doing. The last one is green hydrogen. We're the first company with the two largest scale projects destined for exports of green molecules in the world. One in Saudi Arabia with Air Products and NEOM, and one in Uzbekistan for fertilizers that will be then exported to Europe. Let me give you another point. For every dollar that ACWA Power invests, we mobilize up to $10, $12 of other capital. It's through debt in project financing on the project and through equity on the project, since we typically maintain 30 to 40% of the equity. And I can make you this example as a catalyst for a just energy transition, recycling profits that today come from fossil operation into renewable energy. On the PIF program that delivers 70% of all the renewable energy in Saudi Arabia, a massive program in the next years that we are delivering as a lead developer, Aramco is also participating. On projects that we are developing outside of Saudi Arabia, the OPEC fund has invested in our project. And that means that combined already more than $700 million of profits that come from fossil activities today are being processed into renewable energy projects to greenify the world tomorrow.
And we'll come back to green hydrogen in just a little bit. Can we just take a moment here to talk about nature-based solutions as a way to tackle climate change? What I'm talking about here are things like reforestation, land restoration, sustainable agriculture practices. This is something very close to your heart, Charlotte, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And of course, what is nature-based solution? As you mentioned, you basically can create carbon credits by investing in reforestation or, for instance, conservation. And it really is so important because no environmental legislation or regulation in the world has managed to protect nature sufficiently to support and sustain a healthy planet. So clever economists have come up with this construct of carbon credits, but why does it actually matter? And if I may bring you to Malaysia for a moment. So Malaysia is home to one of the oldest forests in the world, the Taman Negara. Scientists believe it's about 130 million years old. Malaysia is actually one of the only 17 mega diverse countries in the world. So you get these very unique species like the orangutans or proboscis monkeys and amazing biodiversity. So of course, it's absolutely critical to conserve what's there because once you pull it out, you can't put it back in again, but also to make sure that development going forward is very sustainable and that we work with nature and not off nature. So this is something that's very close to my heart. And in Petronas, we have developed a nature and biodiversity position. And we have had a grand aspiration of one day maybe be nature positive. It's very close to us as a national business to ensure that we can do what we can to preserve what's there, but also to ensure that future development, of which there will be a lot, adds to biodiversity. So this is why we're doing it. And we are very much focused on this. And I have a team that's growing in this field. And I think we can't do enough in this space.
Sounds like you moved to the right country because it is really fascinating and wonderful. Let's talk about green hydrogen for a moment. Marco, what is it? Why is it so important? And what challenges did you face when you moved into this space? Because the way I understand it, until not too long ago, there wasn't really a market for green hydrogen.
It's a very interesting question, Lisa, that you're asking. And so allow me to explain first hydrogen and ammonia, why we use them. There are sectors like fertilizer, petrochemicals, transportation, shipping, aviation that today need to rely on fossil fuel, gas or oil. And so we need a new mean of transporting energy to these uses that is greener, that is something different. Hydrogen or ammonia, there are different molecules, but very similar, that can be produced from renewable energy, from solar, from wind, from biomass, geothermal, hydro, and so on. Basically through electrolysis of water. You take water that is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. You split it apart using electricity produced from renewable sources. You take the hydrogen, and the hydrogen you can use in all these processes in a green way. It is an emerging industry. The cost of production is much higher. And also the surface you need is very large. In Saudi Arabia and the Middle East, we have a lot of land. Part of that is being turned to green, thanks to, for instance, the Saudi Green Initiatives, where they want to plant 1 billion trees by 2030. But that is another use productive of the land to make the world more energy efficient and more sustainable. What we're doing is we are building the largest plant in Saudi Arabia and a second plant in Uzbekistan. What we have achieved in this is two things. One is the technological solution. We continue to evolve. We continue to look for better ways to do it. The second aspect that we optimize is all the contractual arrangements around the project. So on one side, all the project permits, lands, contracts, and all that, the offtakes. And on the other hand, all the financial contracts. So we elected to involve banks from around the world, from the region in the Middle East, that we would have them as it was easy to take to other countries fast and effectively. And the second project that we developed in Uzbekistan went from a conceptual study to groundbreaking in less than 1 year. I think that this has been very effective. The last benefit that I see in green hydrogen and green ammonia is that the scale is so big that when you go to some countries in the global south and you develop a project, you are bringing into the country scale in water desalination, in renewable energy, that could be used to build the ecosystem, the logistics, the synergies to lower the cost and make more bankable and more effective also the development of green power and green water to support. This is a great way to link demand that today is largely in the global north with supply that today is most efficient in the Middle East.
You gave me the perfect segue into my next question. Thank you so much. And it's about how do we finance clean technology projects? Wanton, Standard Chartered traditionally has been one of the larger lenders in the oil and gas sector. Now you're increasingly moving into this clean technology space. Is it hard to get these, I don't know, let's call them newer projects approved internally?
So first of all, I do want to stress that providing right access to capital to support transition is absolutely the focus for Standard Chartered. The bank has been engaging with all our clients, host governments and regulators in making sure that we create the framework. And that is important because when you create the framework, that set the cornerstone for how we can provide financing to our clients that meets the just transition criteria. Now, we have been very actively supporting a lot of renewables and some of the low carbon tech projects in the region. And we'll continue to do so to make sure that our clients are able to access to some of these financing to support the transition. At the same time, we continue to provide support for some of the ongoing energy needs from some of the conventional sources, just to make sure that these projects are also having an increasing level of decarbonization commitments as we support our clients in the journey. Now, I mentioned earlier on in our conversation that we have created Sustainable Finance and Transition Finance Framework, and that act as the guideline for us to support a lot of these transactions in both sustainable finance and transition finance. We now have a dedicated team of sustainable finance and transition finance team members. We have also technical team members with knowledge in emerging low carbon fuels. They work closely with the industry bankers as well as some of our project finance and structured finance specialists to make sure they're able to originate and also structure transaction in such a way that it fits the framework that we've put up so that the transaction is not acceptable just to Standard Chartered, but to actually a wider group of investors as well as capital providers to make sure there is a broad pool of liquidity to support a lot of these projects. Marco mentioned earlier on about Project NEOM and the green hydrogen project. Pleased to say that Standard Chartered is also one of the supporters and financiers for that project, given the importance of the project and how we see that actually fits into the overall framework of the bank. And perhaps to just give a couple of other examples as well in terms of some of the projects that we help finance. So recently we did have a client who are looking to decarbonize their steelmaking process. And in order to support them in the process, we were able to leverage on trade finance facilities where we could help them source scrap and move into electric arc furnace to basically produce the steel. In another situation, we have another client of ours that are looking to develop their biogas business. And given the fact that this is a new stream of business and there's a series of projects that are being planned, it is absolutely critical for them to put in place an optimal capital structure So what Standard Chartered do in this case is we act as the advisor to help them put together an optimal capital structure in order to support the series of renewable natural gas projects. And this is important because by doing so, you'll be able to help them to secure in the longer term, sufficient term liquidity to be able to support the ongoing projects.
Charlotte, there has been a fair amount of talk in the media about how much money oil and gas companies are actually spending on energy transition. Are you at liberty to share what your investments are?
I can. I'm also very enthused hearing Marco talking about how he's unlocking the commercial aspects of these new value chains, because that really is critical for the energy transition. But also to hear Anton talk about having dedicated, knowledgeable experts on the financing side, really being able to understand what needs to be invested in. So what are we doing in Petronas? We have committed to spend around 20% of our capital expenditure on sort of net zero pursuits. And this includes reducing our emissions from our existing oil and gas portfolio. That's absolutely critical. We do firmly see that oil and gas will remain in the energy mix for quite some time. So it's absolutely critical to bring down the emissions of these areas of energy. But at the same time, we are investing in new value chains, new growth opportunities such as specialty chemicals, carbon capture and storage, bio-based value chains and renewables, hydrogen, just like Mark was talking about, as well as green mobility. So these are growth areas for us. But going back to the original discussion or very early on in this discussion, and it is that we need to bring society and the ecosystem with us. We need to have the skills to enable these new value chains to come to the fore. You won't be able to find 20,000 electrical engineers all of a sudden servicing electric power. You do need to reskill, upskill, work across society to make sure the skills are in the right place when they need it, as well as the financing, as well as policy and regulations. Investments in monetary terms, very important, but at the same time, we should engage like never before, partner with the unlikely, if you like we've never done before. That is absolutely critical to succeed in our climate objectives and in the energy transition.
This has been a fascinating conversation. I feel like we've only just started to scratch the surface of the topics we could delve a lot deeper in. Sadly, we have to leave it here. From our production team and me, a big thank you to our speakers for their insights. And as always, thank you to our audience for tuning in. I'm Lisa Odenegaus. Goodbye for now. Thank you for tuning in to Industries in Transition, brought to you by Standard Chartered. Supporting clients for over 150 years, Standard Chartered empowers businesses and inspires change through ambitious social and environmental initiatives. Standard Chartered, driving commerce and prosperity whilst contributing to sustainable growth across the world's most dynamic markets.